Christian friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Chris, can you take the mic down just a little bit, getting a little reverb? Well, this morning we're continuing our series on the prophets and looking at probably the most well-known of our prophets, the prophet Isaiah. And we'll be dividing the book of Isaiah into two parts this week and next week. In our reading from Isaiah, we see, and what was read earlier for our first lesson was the account of Isaiah's call. And what we know from that call of Isaiah is he's the first of our prophets from the southern kingdom of Judah. And we know exactly when he prophesied because it's the year King Uzziah died. And we know that was 740 BC. So we have nailed exactly when Isaiah got his call from God to be a prophet. Now, so often, and our opening hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God Almighty, we think of the call of Isaiah as this glorious vision of seeing God and of praising God with the seraphim and the cherubim all gathered around. But really, it was a depressing call. Did you read what God wanted Isaiah to say to the people? You're going to preach and they're not going to listen to you. You're going to preach and they're going to be taken away into exile, into far off lands. There is going to be judgment. The nation is going to be laid waste, desolate. Boy, what a depressing call. Imagine if called being into the ministry and say, well, Brian, you're going to be serving a congregation and no one's going to listen to a word you say. And what you're going to tell to them is you're all sinners and you're going to hell. Well, that's kind of what it felt like for Isaiah. Nobody's going to listen to you, and the whole nation is just going to be wiped out. That's what the message that you're going to tell. Now, we know from the prophet Isaiah that he also had good news to say. And Isaiah has those beautiful passages about the birth of Christ that are prophesied and about his suffering servant that is prophesied. There's a lot of beauty about that. But in his call, God says, You're going to speak judgment to the people. It won't be all good news. But fortunately, you know, there was good news. And like I say, those are the things. And the other thing that he said, though, is, and what God always does with the prophets is no matter how harsh the judgment is, God will never abandon them. That was a covenant. When God makes a covenant, he sticks to his covenant. And he had said, I am going to make you a great nation. And so even though at this point in time there is judgment, he says, a remnant will survive. And out of that remnant, I'll rebuild Jerusalem, and it'll be a great nation again. So there was always that sense of hope, even though there may have been judgment against the people for the things they were doing. But Isaiah had two different times, specifically in his ministry early on, where he had good news to preach. And one of those was under King Ahaz. And it was in 735 that there was the Syro-Ephraimite War. Basically, Syria and Ephraim, which is another name for the northern tribe of Israel when they were split. And Syria and Ephraim had joined together and they wanted to conquer Judah. And they were more powerful than Judah, and they wanted to then make an alliance with between all three so that they could fight Assyria. And so King Ahaz came to Isaiah, and he was distraught. He tore his clothes in repentance because these two kings were ganging up on him, and it appeared hopeless. And Isaiah then gave what we normally think of as a prophecy only referring to Jesus. And that prophecy is in Isaiah 7:14. A young woman or virgin, in the Hebrew it can be either, is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel. Now, normally we just use that passage for Jesus. A virgin shall conceive and you shall name him and he will be called Emmanuel. But in our text, that same verse goes on because he's speaking to King Ahaz. For before the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the Lord before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted. So the initial fulfillment of this prophecy was to King Ahaz, that these two kings, and Isaiah said there's a child that will be born, and before that child knows good to evil, his bar mitzvah at age 12 or 13, before the child reaches his bar mitzvah, these two kings you are dreading, their lands will be laid desolate. And so we know this war began in 735, and sure enough, right when that child reached the time of when he would have a bar mitzvah, 722 is when we know the kingdoms of Israel and Syria were laid desolate and were wiped out. And so the first fulfillment of this passage was back in 722. Indeed, the child was born. The two kings that King Ahaz feared were destroyed just as God had told Isaiah to predict. But we also know that there was a second fulfillment of that passage. And that's often how prophecies work, is there was a prophecy for the day and time then, and sometimes those prophecies had a second fulfillment. And that's what we have here. And so when you get to the Greek and when you get to the New Testament, it's no longer the Hebrew word that can be either a virgin or a young woman, but clearly for Jesus it is a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall name him Emmanuel. And we know that Emmanuel is literally God with us, that Jesus was the fulfillment of that, and that fulfillment happened in 1 AD. And so God in 722 delivered King Ahaz from the threat of two kings seeking to kill him. In 1 AD, God delivers us from sin and death and gives us a Savior so that we have salvation in Him. So Isaiah had good news twice, both to King Ahaz in his day and time, and to us as well in the birth of Jesus. Now, the second significant event in the life of Isaiah happened in 701, about 30 years later. The Assyrians had now conquered Syria, and they had conquered Israel, and now they were trying to conquer Judah as well. And King Sennacherib had an army of hundreds of thousands, and they laid siege to Jerusalem. It appeared hopeless. Assyria was the most powerful nation in the world. It was only a matter of time before Israel and Jerusalem collapsed. And so this time it was King Hezekiah, the son of King Ahaz, who was now the king. He too went to Isaiah, tore his clothes, humbly beseeched Isaiah. And so it was that Isaiah said to King Hezekiah, he said in 37:35, "For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for the sake of King David." Now, that seemed to be something that just wasn't going to happen. Most powerful nation in the world, hundreds of thousands of soldiers surrounding Jerusalem. But that very next night, 185,000 Assyrians died, and they withdrew all their troops and went back into Assyria. Jerusalem was saved. And it's not only a biblical account, that's an account that is in the historical records of the Assyrians as well. We know that at that date, that's exactly what happened. That miraculously, unexplainably, the soldiers were killed and they withdrew from Jerusalem, and Jerusalem was saved just as Isaiah had told the people they would. And so God gave at least Isaiah, even though in his call he was a terrible call to produce judgment, so at times along the way God continued to show his grace to the people, and Isaiah was able to share those. It's in chapter 5, however, that Isaiah goes back to the bad news. And in chapter 5, he says, "You are Israel, you are like an unfruitful vineyard." And like so many of the prophets, it's beautiful language. It's written in poetic language that God planted Israel, the vineyard, and he nurtured it and he cared for it, just like somebody caring for a rose garden or caring for something that's precious to you. And he expected then that there would be a harvest of grapes. And he said, there is no harvest. You are like wild grapes. You've gone sour. And in fact, it says he had expected to have justice, but saw bloodshed. He expected righteousness, but heard a cry in the city. And so he says, because of that, because of the greed, because you didn't have justice, you didn't care for people, you will be taken off into exile. And hear these words, again, in a poetic way, but in the powerful imagery of a prophet. When Isaiah prophesies this, he says these words, God will raise a signal from a nation far away and whistle for a people from the ends of the earth, and they will come. Swiftly, speedily, and their roaring is like that of a lion. Like young lions, they roar, they growl, and they seize their prey. They carry it off, and no one can rescue. They will roar over it on that day like the roaring of the sea. And if one looked to the land, only darkness and distress, and the light grows dark with clouds. Ominous words that Isaiah said to the people of Israel. And so, again, even with that poetry, that judgment, he still says, but God will provide for a remnant. Like a tree that has been cut down, the stump will remain, and out of that stump will be a branch. And we know that branch to be Jesus. But he says, I'll never completely abandon you, but there was judgment. And that's what Isaiah had to tell the people, that they would indeed be taken off into exile. Now, in Isaiah's, fortunately for Isaiah, that didn't happen during his lifetime. Again, it was around 701 that he prophesied about the Assyrians. It wasn't until 597, over 100 years later, that the kingdom of Judah finally was conquered by the Babylonians, and all those things that Isaiah had said came true. They were taken off into exile. Their leaders were killed. It was a terrible scene. But also, as Isaiah said, 70 years later, they came out of exile. A remnant of those who had been taken away came back, they rebuilt the temple, they rebuilt the city, and God reestablished his people. Because for a while there, they wondered, would God's covenant be good? You know, God promised Abraham, you'll have land. God promised Abraham, you'll have descendants as numerous as the sands on the shore. And all of a sudden, they had no land. And all of a sudden, their people were killed. And only a remnant were taken and sent off into Babylon. And the people wondered, will God be faithful? And sometimes we do the same things. When we go through periods of darkness, when we struggle, we wonder, will God be faithful to me? And that's why we need to listen to the prophets, that even when we go through the judgments of this world, even though we face consequences, the promise of God, that is, he never abandons us. Even through suffering, he is with us to restore us, and has promised us through Jesus Christ that no matter what the sufferings are of this life, his promises for salvation are good, and that the sufferings of this world will not compare to the glories yet to be revealed. Or we think of how Paul says in Romans chapter 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And so when we look at these prophets and we look at the doom they predicted and the consequences for sin, it brings us hope that if there are consequences for our nation or for us as individuals, the promise is God's judgment is not the final word. God's salvation is always his final word. Now, the final thing for us, I think, when we hear this is, as we hear these words of judgment and of grace that Isaiah had, is that we look to Jesus. When you think of that unfruitful vineyard that Isaiah prophesied about, we think of Jesus who says, I am the vine and you are the branches. And those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. So if you're worried or concerned about judgment, if you're worried about the scene from Isaiah, there's a simple remedy for that. Stay connected to Jesus. Stay connected to the vine that is the source of life. Stay connected to his grace. Stay connected to his word. Stay connected to Jesus in prayer. And Jesus says, if you stay connected to me, you will bear much fruit. And you will be blessed in this life and the life to come. Well, Isaiah had the unfortunate task of telling the people, you're not going to hear and you're going to suffer, even though you're blind to my message. That's not God's word to us. Jesus is the light to the Gentiles. And because of Jesus, we don't have to live in the darkness. We live in the light. We live in the light of the cross, the ultimate statement of God, that he has died for us, that our sins are forgiven, and we might have everlasting life. That is God's word to us. So stay connected to Jesus, and let his light and love fill you and flow through you. Amen. I invite you to stand and pray with me. Lord God, we are humbled by the words of the prophets. Each week they remind us to take a look at ourselves. Have we become the unfruitful vineyard? Have we become the unthankful people? Or have we stayed connected to you? Lord God, send your spirit on each person here. Send your spirit throughout our congregations and throughout our nation, that we may be a fruitful vineyard that gives glory to you in our lives and that produces those fruits of love, compassion, and mercy. We pray to you, Lord. Amen.